Backstage with Mothership on Solid Rock Radio begins now. Hear the best in new music, artist interviews, stories from the road, and more. You are now backstage, and here's your host, Mothership.
Hey, everybody. Tonight, the three siblings that make up the band Undefeated are my guests. I know you're going to enjoy hearing about this young band's journey.
Hey, guys. How are y'all doing?
Hello.
Hello,
hello. Hello. I have three siblings from New York in the band Undefeated. We have Meredith, lead vocals, the oldest. Am I correct?
Yes. Yep.
Okay. Christian plays the drums, brother.
Yes, ma'am.
And Lise is playing bass.
Hi.
Are you the baby?
Of the group. Okay.
We have three more siblings, so she's actually fourth in line.
Okay, so you have six kids. Three are in this band. Are they going to have their own band?
You know, the youngest might. He's only 13, so he's been dabbling a lot of music things. We'll see where he ends up.
Okay. Well, Lise, you're the most recent addition. There was another bassist.
Yep.
How long have you been with the band?
I have been with the band 2 years.
Yeah, just about two years.
About 2 years.
So is your whole family musical?
Sorta. We're definitely the most musical out of us. Both my parents have dabbled in, like my dad has dabbled in guitar just a little bit. My mom was a pretty good flautist. Is that how you say it?
Flutist?
Mm-hmm. Well, flautist?
That is correct. It's a flautist.
Yeah, see, I thought Anyways, my parents, yes.
But they didn't do anything professionally, right?
Well, mom played in school.
And our father played for our church worship team for a couple years.
That's where he really learned to play.
Yeah, so I mean, nothing.
Yeah, nothing huge, band level. Just, but I like music. I'm going to pick up an instrument, see if I can, sort of thing. So we ended up doing more music than they have, although we're in a family that loves music. So they've always loved music. We grew up around music. And then the one in between, Christian Lee, super brainiac, like, could play something if he wanted to, but he's definitely the science math whiz of the family. And then the two youngest ones, one of them is, like, we always say super soft-hearted, like has a giant heart. So it'll be really cool to see what he does. And then the youngest probably could play circles around us if he wanted to, but he's 13, so the drive isn't necessarily there yet. And we'll see what happens because he has a ton of talent in anything he picks up.
Well, how did y'all know you want to do a band?
I've always sang. Like, when people are asking, when did you start playing guitar? Like, you know when you start playing an instrument, but you never know when you start singing, you know, just because you kind of always do it. And I went through a lot of, like, church hurts, whatever. Everybody has a story about that. And lost my confidence, but then understood that if that's where God wants me to be, then that's where I have to be, you know, and that's where my greatest joy will be and your greatest testimony in uplifting others as well. So I definitely was very much like, nope, I'm going to do this. And we ended up being invited. Well, I ended up, because we didn't have a band yet, being invited to a worship festival up in Massachusetts. And we ended up going, and the different genres there, like rock and rap and reggae and gospel and like heavy, heavy metal, like every genre there. And it clicked for me. I was 14 at the time. And that was when I knew I'm going to do this for my life. And Christian drummed at the time, and I asked him if he would be the drummer, and he said,
heck yeah, man.
And we played on the lawn of a bookstore is our very first show that we did. And from there, we just kind of did smaller venues, like word of mouth sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And we had another bassist join us, and it was still word of mouth. We loved doing it. We loved playing. We kept getting asked different places, and we're like, yeah, this is awesome. And we started traveling more and more, and that bassist had like a steady full-time job and just said, I would really like to step down and do this. And so when he left, we were kind of like, I don't know what to do now. Like, I felt like this is where we're going, but then you lose your entire third of your band. And my sister said, I'll do it. And we said, you don't play anything. Like, sure. You know what? Here, take my old bass. You have fun messing around with it as we're still looking around, you know, for different players. And within a month, I mean, she was flying. So why would I not use what God put in my own house, you know? And
it took me like a month to play Smoke on the Water. Literally. So I don't know why you said I was running with it. Smoke on the Water was the hardest thing I could possibly play when I picked it up.
Good taste, though.
Now it's easy.
But just the talent that was there and the drive that I've never seen come out of somebody was there, and we just gelled. Like, it makes everything easier because your siblings, you have the same schedule, you know how to put up with each other, and
you can't get rid of each other.
You can't get rid of each other, yeah. And so that was about 2 years ago, and that's when we said, like, we're going to do this for a living. So we started running as a business. We started promoting, started trying to get our name out there versus just word of mouth. That's what we'd love to do for the rest of our lives.
Christian, when did you start playing drums?
So this is always a tough question for me because I started playing like school drums, which really isn't like drum set. It's more of like the orchestral. Like, you have your big bass drum, then you only play snare specifically. I started that when I was like 13. And so I dabbled in drum set for a little bit. But then when Meredith asked me to play with her, I slowly buckled down on drum set. But actually, for the first, I don't know, probably a year and a half, maybe 2 years, I refused to play drum set. I would only play cajon, and I would turn it so I was facing Meredith only, not the crowd. I had like the worst stage fright. It was horrible.
I have videos of this, by the way.
Yeah. So that's a little embarrassing. But
it's crazy.
Yeah. And then one day I actually broke out my drum set for a show, and now I've never looked back, and I still play cajon here and there, but it's
for the acoustic stuff.
Yeah, but it's definitely more drum set heavy at this point.
Did you play pots and pans before that?
Zucchinis.
No way.
I have. If you scroll back in our Instagram page, there's some old videos of him literally playing our garden zucchinis with like spoons.
Yeah.
Yep, that's always a sign of things to come.
Does being in the same household make it easier or harder to practice?
So easy.
I was like, much, much easier. When we converted to all family, we were able to like adjust our work schedules with practice schedules.
Yeah.
So we were able to do like longer practices, focus more on like movement and different stuff like that as well, mm-hmm. because we were able to buckle down and do like an hour and a half to 2 to 3 hour practices, mm-hmm. which turned out to be really, really nice and helpful for the band as a whole.
Yeah, and sometimes we get up right after breakfast and we're like, guys, want to go play? And we'll hop down in our practice area and get it done.
Yeah.
Do you not find it hard to stay on task?
We're pretty driven in the sense that we have a schedule and we know what we want to do, so we put that work in to do it. Doesn't mean we don't have fun. Like, today we were doing a lot of writing, so it's a lot of goofy ideas, a lot of let's see what happens here kind of thing.
Yeah.
Have y'all always loved rock?
You know what's funny? We grew up only contemporary Christian music, K-Love stuff. My dad, like, my parents were huge hair band, 80 rocker sort of people. And when I was about 3, my dad just had a huge conviction of clean music in the house. So he literally threw out like hundreds and hundreds of CDs and tapes and all that stuff. And so we grew up with only the K-Love stuff. And we went to a Seventh Day Slumber. Well, actually, that Massachusetts festival was the first time I'm like, there's more genres. Like, I'm in love. Yeah. And then Seventh Day Slumber came through our local church, well, near us. We live in a super small town, so it's the next small town over. With their, I don't remember, it was their tour. They had like GFM and
Random Heroes. Random Heroes, Zana.
Yeah, and that's when Christian, well, you can tell that story. That's yours.
Yeah, that's when I really shot off. So I actually was a worship drummer for the longest time. I was part of the worship team for, I think, like 3-4 years. Mm-hmm. When I was like 15, that's when I started doing worship for our church. And I would only do like simple like tom grooves and stuff, like hitting the like china was like forbidden in our church almost. Yeah. So after I saw them like go crazy and stuff, it really opened up my eyes into what drums could be and what they should be for different genres. And that really shot off. What I play mm-hmm. now is definitely based off that at this point, which I think is fantastic. I love it.
Mm-hmm. That's cool. Have you always lived in your little town in New York?
Yep. Yes. Same house, whole time. We have about 2,000 people, which is small to a lot of people. But then we've gone into different towns and they're like, we have 400, 500 people. And I'm like, we fit right in.
Do you have a traffic light?
We do. We do have a couple.
Okay.
We do have a Walmart, too, but...
Whoa, well, that's a big town, then. Okay.
I know, right? Well, it's still a couple miles from us,
It's a while from us.
We live, like, on the outskirts
of
the town.
Yeah, we're on the outskirts.
Are your parents from that same town?
My dad is. My mom is from, like, 20 minutes south, maybe.
Yeah, small town as well, so yeah, it's...
still a small town.
So New Yorkers to the core.
To the core, yeah. Yep.
What was your favorite subject in school?
I hate math. I hate to say that. Math is not my jam.
Okay, we've eliminated math.
I do love science, but I'm also a big English person. So, yeah. I mean, I would say, like, gym, but that's not really a subject. So, like, either English or some science. I love
science.
He loves
soccer.
Yeah, soccer's pretty cool, but that's not a subject.
That's true. Yeah, I hate math. Like, bane of my existence. And I was homeschooled from fourth grade to graduation. So, I mean, my schooling was a little bit different than your typical public school. But if it isn't music, which always is my 100% top, I also love writing. So I would also say English.
Art. Okay, I mean, math is cool if I understand it.
No.
Science was all right. Chemistry. I really like chemistry. Social studies is just so boring. And English, if you have the right teacher, it's interesting. If you don't, it's boring. So
I have never known this about you.
Chemistry, maybe. Or math if I understand the subject. Like statistics and probability, no. Absolutely not. But easy, like algebra easy. I can do that.
Algebra. I'm flabbergasted right now. I'm learning new things every day.
Came out of left field.
That did. I did not expect that.
Okay, well, Christian, Meredith, let me introduce you to Lise.
Oh my word.
Lover of chemistry.
I'm gobsmacked.
But like the teachers made me enjoy the subject though.
That plays a big role in it.
If it was the actual subject or was the teacher who led me to love the subject.
I'll get you some my old math books. We can find out.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm good. I'm good. No more math for me, please.
You're like, I'm almost free.
I tapped out.
Now, I did enjoy algebra. I liked plotting things on the XY axis, but calculus and geometry, no.
You and my mom. She is like a math genius. Have you ever used them? That's my next question.
In a real life scenario, yeah.
Y equals MX plus B, I do not believe I've ever used. But I know it.
I want to bring this to school curriculums and be like, listen.
You know, they taught you stop, drop, and roll, but I don't think I've ever caught on fire either. So.
That's an excellent
point right there.
When y'all go on tour, is the rest of the family involved in any way?
So when we were younger, and then when Lise joined, because she was 15,
I just turned 15.
Yeah, just turned 15. Our parents would still go with us. My mom actually ran the merch table for us for the longest time when we were starting. My dad did a lot of our sound. And, you know, we get a lot of, maybe not a lot of, but we get some blowback and some people that have literally turned their backs on us when we go into, like, restaurant bar type scenes.
Yeah.
And it's interesting to me because God has always shown us, like, go through the open door. I will open your doors. I will shut your doors. And we've just walked there. Like, we don't necessarily know where we're going. We just walk through it. And there's been different times, multiple times, actually, every time we've gone into a place that we're a little bit like, we're not sure about this, but God has opened the door so clearly that that's where we're going. And we've come to realize, like, we're not there to... I say preach the gospel, which sounds bad, but it's different than like hitting somebody over the head with the Bible and then just singing about God and they don't necessarily even realize it, but we're there to remind them of what they believed in when they were young. And we had one person just recently come up to us afterward and was part of the headlining band. And 40, he was like drunk off his rocker and was swearing up a storm and was telling us all the stuff, whatever, whatever. And then all of a sudden he just like stopped. He took a step back and looked at us and was like, don't lose your faith, and told a whole story about he grew up in church and how he lost that. And it was interesting for us to be like, and that's why we're here, just to remind you that there was somebody there who loved you and cared about you, you know, and hopefully that planted a seed. And we had another guy from like a high-end resort town who invited us. This is when we were with our old bassist, and so I was not even 16, maybe almost 17, and he invited us to play at his speakeasy like the night of our other show, because he walked by the town and was like, oh my gosh, I need music tonight. And so our parents got together and they were like, do we do this? Like, this is the first time.
I remember that. Yeah. So we were playing a show.
Yeah.
And then he walks by, and then as we're cleaning up, he's like, do you guys want to play another show tonight? And that was like crazy, because like we were like dead tired, and he's like, yeah, come on, let's go. And we're like, all right.
Yeah. So we ended up going, and after that, he asked us if we would come back like weekly and do a thing, which never panned out. But he was talking to my mom on the phone, and just like his son was a youth pastor, and he had, I hesitate to say falling so far because everybody, like, you just get down or whatever. But he was like, having you guys there, like, I can't bring you kids into this. Like, and it reminded me of what I should be doing. And he closed down his bar and moved back to his son and got back involved in a church. And I was like, once again, it's not about like proving a point. It's just, or not about like preaching necessarily. It's there to plant the seed and remind people of what they already know, which brings me back to the point of our parents, is they were there in those situations with us, because you wouldn't send your 17-year-old into a bar situation, you know. And we do a lot more restaurant bar, like, have bars, which are definitely a different atmosphere than a straight bar. But even when Lise was just joining, they were there with us again for a lot of these venues. But just recently, this summer was our second full month tour that we were on the road with. And that was just us three, which was super fun.
Fantastic.
We love it. But they wouldn't have let us go out if they hadn't been there step by step as we've grown and God has opened the doors for us. So it's been really cool.
Okay, now it's time to transition into music.
When did the first song come to you? I guess Meredith, it would have been you, right?
Yep, I do most of the writing. I get a good melody line and some guitar parts. Like, I'm a vocalist first and foremost. I play guitar because God hasn't brought another guitarist to us yet, which means I haven't finished learning what he wants me to learn. And so I get a little bit of guitar stuff and I bring it to Christian, and then he works on his part and it kind of morphs from there. So we had a super low key acoustic EP that we don't even have. Like, I don't even know where the MP3 files are for that anymore.
At this point, no.
I think we have like 2 songs up on YouTube from that. But then we put time and effort into finding like a good rock studio. And Shadows was the first song that really, that was the first, well, we were acoustic up until that point, because right. Shadows was our first electric guitar song, and the title was EGS, electric guitar song, for literally like a year.
A year, yeah, it was a while.
It was a long time. It would be on our set as EGS, and then we were recording it, and we're like, well, I mean, Shadows, cool, that, sure, that works. And so that must have been 2019 or 2020. It was August 5th, 2019 or 20, because the band started. We played our first show on August 5th, so we thought it'd be fun to release our first single on August 5th.
Yeah, I remember
Might be 15th. I don't know, but a couple years ago.
First song was
Shadows.
Followed by
Where Are You? And that was, it was an acoustic song and our longest song to date. It's almost 7 minutes, and I wrote it in probably 15 minutes. And some songs can take anywhere from, I don't know, a couple hours to a couple months. They just kind of live in your notebook and come back to them, see what happens. But that song came right out, 15 minutes. That's still one of my favorite songs to play.
You tend to have really long titles for your songs. / S for sarcasm. Why the short titles to your songs? They're like one word or two words, maybe three.
Kind of unintentionally, but I remember there's a Reliant K song that's like something about crayons, and it's so long. And for whatever reason, in my head, I was like, man, I want a really long song title. And then every single song title has been the exact opposite of that. So I don't know. It fits.
All right. If it fits, it looked like there's a working title and you go, I would go with that.
That actually is kind of what happens a lot.
Most of the time.
Although, Two-Faced was Brink of Hell. The working title was Two-Faced. And then I was like, no, I'm changing it to Brink of Hell. And then Christian Lee's like vetoed and shot that down so harshly, because they were like, it's such a pop song for Brink of Hell. It's like this heavy title. And I said, no, like, I like Brink of Hell.
And then what we did to convince her was say, okay, ladies and gentlemen, this next one is called Brink of Hell. And then she comes in with the acoustic guitar super lightly. I'm like, and there's your case.
It wasn't acoustic. It's electric.
There's your case in point, though. And she's like, oh, yeah. She's like, back to Two-Faced.
Although we were deciding that as we were putting that CD into production. And so there are a couple CDs out there that
have Brink of Hell.
That Brink of Hell will show up on the car letter thing. I don't know what that's called, the screen. And it will say Brink of Hell, even though the case says Two-Faced. So if you have one of those, pretty special.
So everybody's sitting there waiting for the breakdown, right?
Yeah. And it comes out with a super cheesy guitar solo.
Yeah.
Our next one will be better, I promise.
What's your latest song?
The latest one is out is Future, and that's, I think,
my that one's fun.
Top favorite out of all of our songs ever. That one just kind of wrote, and it was super basic in chord structure, but for whatever reason, I was like, this is the way it's supposed to be presented. And we're still working on, like, creating good moments in that song for a live show, but that definitely is, yeah, I think that's my top favorite.
Same. Well, tell us about it.
It's such a dark song, which sounds, yeah, it sounds kind of dark. The words are kind of dark. But I always say God is the best co-writer, so what he writes, that's what comes out. And I know that even if I take it as one way, whoever's meant to listen to it will hear what they're supposed to hear. And I'm a firm believer in God has created you specifically for the role that you were to play. So not everyone is going to be a musician. Not everybody's going to be a chef. Not everybody's going to be a lawyer. Not everybody's going to be a school teacher. Like, God has a part of the body for everybody. And that song is very much about, well, all of our songs are very much about taking the religious and the rule side of your, I won't say every church, but a lot of present day churches, they have a lot of, this is how it's done. You must do this. You must do that. And God didn't care about that as much as he cared about, I love you the way I've made you. And I think a lot of things are side points that aren't something you should trip over if you're focused on what Jesus is. Like, step over it, you know? If your eyes are on where Jesus is, that's all that matters. And that's kind of what that song's about.
Each one of you, I want you to tell me, if somebody's walked up to you and said, I just heard about your band, what song should I listen to?
Choke, definitely, first and foremost. That one I feel like is super catchy. It has a nice intro in the beginning. It like jumps straight into like tom work, and it has like that heavy. And it also has like so it's got, I feel like it has a good melody. And the choruses catch you. The it's got a good hook in the choruses catch you with the good hook. And then I also feel like the breakdown in it is also fantastic. That one's just fun to play. Yeah, so I would recommend Choke.
I always ask people, well, do you like heavier stuff or do you like lighter stuff? And if they say heavier, I point them to Future because it's, you know, our newest song. And then if they say lighter stuff, I point them to As You Are, which is, I love, piano was my first instrument and I love it. So that really highlights that aspect.
Okay. I would probably say Choke. Same reasons as Christian.
It's just
Choke
a cool song.
Yeah.
We like playing Choke live.
Yeah, that looks like it would be fun to play live. Fun to hear live. What does success mean to you?
Interesting. That's a good one. If you're talking purely business, I think success is making a living is what we would like to do. If you're talking just in life, being fulfilled by, I have always been on a one track path since I was little. I know what God wants me to do. I have been following that. I had a little hiatus, but that's a story for another time. but it sounds selfish to say like being fulfilled. Yeah, there's a quote that says, I'm totally butchering it, but the idea behind it is that when I get to heaven, I won't have an ounce of talent left that God gave me because I used it on earth with what he gave me to do. And so I feel like that really sums up what I'd like to do is use everything he has given me so that when I see him, like I have done the job that he has
called me to do.
Yeah.
I like that a lot.
Are you just going to say same?
I'm like same, yeah. Though. Yeah, but like...
You explained it really well.
Okay. So, Christian, you're going to say the same thing, that you want to use up all the talent that God gave you and not waste any of it.
Basically, yeah.
At least?
Yeah.
Same as Meredith. You explained it really
okay.
Well.
They all have one brain.
Sometimes we do. Oh, my word. We have videos of us from different shows where Lisa and I have literally, we took like the same three steps in the same direction, like mirrored each other. And
like, for a good like 30 seconds.
It's weird.
When we're together, sometimes, so I like just sing and just do random stuff because I can't keep silent and I can't keep still. And Meredith and I have actually started on in the same song, in the same spot.
Without thinking.
Without, like just,
talk, yeah.
It's like 3, 2, 1, and then we would just start singing. But, like, nobody counted us in. It was crazy.
Yeah.
So we've done
that's a little scary.
Yeah. We're like, look at each other like, whoa.
What are people surprised to learn about you?
I think that we're siblings.
No, because everyone that seen us sees the face shape and the nose.
Yeah, but a lot of people are like, you all three are siblings.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
So they either think that Chris and I are siblings or Meredith and I are siblings.
Yeah, we don't.
But they don't think that all three of us are siblings.
Yeah, it's either that or our ages probably. I think is the most.
That's true. My most surprising thing is that when I tell people that I'm really really good at soccer. As a musician, you're typically not gifted in the athletic ability. Just speaking from a general pool. Every time that I've met a musician, they're like, "Oh," and I'm like, "I also play sports and was really really good at it."
He was good.
But yeah,
we can say that about you. We had different, not even college, some pretty good colleges were talking about it.
What's your favorite road snacks?
Brownies.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Always. I'm such a beef jerky guy. I make my own beef jerky.
Really?
It's fantastic. I love it.
That's true. We actually pretty healthy on the road, just because if you don't take care of your body, you can't keep going for days and days on end. But I love, if the healthy side, I love fruits. Pineapple is I literally have three pineapple jewelry things on me right now.
If you see our room.
Pineapples everywhere.
It's no longer my room, it's just Meredith's room. She's taking over.
It's a favorite road snack.
I love Reese's. Reese's peanut butter cups.
Okay. All right. That's a good one too.
I like peaches.
That's true. Peaches. We got a bunch of peaches or peach stuff on the road this year. You tried your first dragon fruit.
I did. Yeah, it tasted like nothing and I was very disappointed. So don't buy dragon fruit. It looks super cool, but it tastes like nothing. So,
tastes like nothing. Okay.
Tastes like nothing.
All right. What's coming up? What's new?
So this is the exciting part.
I need a drum roll, Christian.
There you go. Drum roll.
Now.
We have some new music. We're taking all of August to really buckle down and write in between all of our shows. We just came off the road, so we're all practiced up in all of our shows for August. So all the extra time we have is we're working on new songs, we're writing, and I am so excited. We have cool breakdowns, we're working on some solos, we have some catchy lyrics, and I feel like we've definitely taken a full step forward with these songs. So I am so excited.
They're really cool. They're really cool.
Yeah. And there's a lot of them that are half done, but as they start spiraling in to where we can hear the potential, I'm excited. I can't hold this in because I've been working so hard on writing these songs and I just brought four new ones to them today and so fun.
Do you have some sort of a time in your mind of when you'd like to start releasing?
We're hoping early next year we can get some singles out. And then that will all depend on, because we're also kind of shopping for producers right now, I guess you could say. So once we find the person that we're that's, you get it. Is when we'll really do that.
What about shows for the rest of the year?
Yes, we're playing a bunch in August. We have shows lined up. The 25th, we are playing a local block party. So that's just me. I'm guesting with another band. We're doing some Paramore covers. So I'm excited about that when they ask
me. Oh, you should fit in with that.
This is so exciting. I would love that. And then we play Brew York Festival on the 26th, which is, again, about an hour from us. It's in New York. And then we have a couple things coming up in September. We're opening for Red Jumpsuit Apparatus the 15th. So those are our three biggest shows.
Nice.
At least in the next 2 months. Well, next month and a half. We're still planning and getting out the rest of September and October.
What have you guys got in the way of merch?
Oh, so we just came out with new merch, actually. So now we have two different types of logos on our t-shirts. One is more of the modern, so it has our saying pain into power with our little undefeated tag underneath that. The other one has a big shield that says undefeated on the front and then pain to power on the back.
Those are going to become limited edition though, because I don't think we're replacing those.
Yeah, so that's cool. And then we just got, let's see, hats. We now have rings. We do sunglasses. There's green ones and we have blue ones, different purple ones. Those are pretty cool. Let's see, we just did joggers. Hoodies, yeah.
Sweatpants. We just upped all of them. Leggings, yeah.
Yeah. So some of them have like insignias, while others have like the full length undefeated on the pant leg. So
you can check out all of our merch. We have a link on our Facebook under undefeated_official, and our merch should be linked there. If not, it's bigcartel.com/undefeated_official.
What other socials do you have besides Facebook and
Instagram, YouTube? They're all under undefeated_official.
Well, good night to you all, and thank you, and I hope to see you out on the road.
Yes, thank you again for having us. This is super fun. You have a good night.
You too. Bye.
Thank you for listening. Stay tuned for more great music, and check out my blog page on the Solid Rock Radio website for my guests' social media links. If you've missed any of my past interviews, you can find them uploaded to podcast.solidrockradio.org. Have a wonderful week, and let's be kind to one another.